In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. If I say good morning today, I can't possibly be really meaning good morning. I must mean God's morning. Congratulations to all of you for making it here. Jack made reference next door about the difference between being a fool for Christ and a fool, and I'm not sure this morning where we fit in all of that, but you've braved the icy roads. Thank you. This morning is the second Sunday of Epiphany, but we've taken advantage of the flexibility of the church calendar and moved the feast of St. Peter, which falls tomorrow, moved it to today so that we can celebrate our namesake, St. Peter, in church on a Sunday. And in doing that, the gospel becomes the confession of St. Peter, which you have heard read this morning. In thinking about the gospel this morning, though, it seems to me that it is a perfect choice for this particular day when we're combining, in effect, two church holidays, the second Sunday of Epiphany and the Feast of St. Peter, as well as a national holiday of our own. You know that Martin Luther King was born in 1929 on January 15th, and we celebrate his birthday tomorrow as a national holiday. Let me explain to you how I think the gospel works to pull all of those things together. The gospel passage this morning talks about the confession of St. Peter, St. Peter being the first of the disciples, the first apostle to recognize Jesus' identity as the Messiah and the Son of the living God. But as we read that gospel today, I think we can see a mirror image of that confession in the gospel. And that mirror image is a confession of Jesus's back to St. Peter. Jesus is recognizing St. Peter. He's recognizing Peter in his full identity. And in recognizing Peter, he's recognizing us and the church. Jesus, of course, says to St. Peter, you are a rock of sorts. We'll talk about that a little bit. But you are a rock, and on you I am going to do something. Our translation is build a church. Let me be at least a little bit of a linguistic scholar and tell you that this gospel passage is quite special in the original Greek. It has at least three puns in it. I'm only going to talk about two of them this morning, but the sense that you have in looking at that original Greek is that this is a playful gospel, and I think there's good news in that for all of us. The puns come about when Jesus says, tell me, who do the people say that the Son of Man is? We translate that after our cultural battles as who do the people say the Son of Man is? But in the original Greek, there's a play on words because, as in the King James Version, it is who do men say that the Son of Man is? Anthropoi and anthropon are in those four or five words. And Jesus is simply saying, who do people say I am? The Son of Man was the notion of any human being. It wasn't a special, it need not have been an especial religious notion and can be found in all sorts of literature just for the name of a human being. So he starts out this gospel passage with this little play on words and then goes on to another play on words that you probably are aware of, but I want to suggest that maybe it's deeper than we give it normal credit for. The second play on words is Peter and rock. Petros, Peter's name, is a word for rock in Greek, and you know the word petroleum, rock oil, petroglyphs, writing on rocks, petrochemicals. You know the name Petros. And that name is a nickname for Simon. Jesus has met Simon earlier in life and said to him, I'm going to call you Cephas, an Aramaic word meaning rock or stone. So that here we have the Greek, a language that Jesus probably did not speak, coming into play. And it's a nickname, and perhaps we can give more flavor to this passage if we think of the passage as being translated, not you are Simon Peter, Simon the Rock, but you're Simon Rocky. It gives the full flavor of the nickname. But then he says to him, you are Rocky. But the notion that gets conveyed is the same sort of notion that gets conveyed in the old Robin Hood story. Do you remember Little John? Little John is called Little John not because he's little, but because he's huge. And the sense that one can have in looking at Simon, Cephas, Peter, is that he's anything but a rock. We know he's not a rock in a series of very difficult situations where he denies knowing Jesus. He says, I'm not part of that contingent, and denies him three times. And there's a sense in which Peter is recognized not for steadfastness, but for lack of steadfastness. So who is he? Well, of course, he's all of us. We're all human. We're all flawed. We all have failings. And when Jesus turns around to him and says, Simon, Rocky, I'm going to build my church on you, I think what he's saying is, listen, in that series of failings, in that series of shortcomings, in that humanity that is you, I will find my church and build my church. The Greek here is, I will house raise up my assembly. We translate assembly as church in the New Revised Standard Version, and in fact we translated it that way in the King James Version. But what Jesus is saying to Peter here is, I'm going to create my assembly out of you. I'm going to have this assembly of the called out people of God. I'm going to have it constructed, built out of failing human beings just like you, Rocky. Our assembly this morning is an assembly of failed human beings, flawed human beings. It certainly is in this person in front of you. But that's the great promise. That's the great promise and the good news in this gospel. That the assembly that Jesus is calling out, that God has called out, this assembly that is exemplified by Peter, an assembly that is not composed of the steadfast, of the perfect, of the rock-like. This assembly is one that transcends those failings and those shortcomings and becomes the assembly of God. And that is indeed great good news. And in fact, the good news is that in that assembly of human beings, we make manifest Christ all over again. In the season of Epiphany, we celebrate the manifestation of Christ as the Christ child, but we do more than that. We recognize and celebrate the manifestation of Christ in all the forms and fashions that it has taken place over 2,000 years, but also in the forms and fashions that it's taking place today. And of course, in the assembly here this morning, on this awful morning, we manifest Christ in this grouping. But we will manifest Christ tomorrow, and we will know the fullness of our being when we're apart and yet are still part of a spiritual community, even though we are separated from one another. And in that community, we're called to remember that we're not only together with the folks that are alive today, but we're together with the folks who have come before us and the folks who will come after us. And tomorrow is a special day for us to recognize the fullness of our being, because we're called upon to recognize how knit up together we are as a community with Martin Luther King and all his great and glorious works on behalf of this nation, on behalf of his people and all the people of this nation, and then ultimately all of the people of the world. A recognition that indeed we are a complete and full assembly when we are at our best, and that that is the good news and the promise, that we can be at our best and be the fullest human beings we can be, assembled physically or spiritually in time and across time with Christ. That's the great and glorious good news of this gospel. It's good news that pulls together St. Peter, Christ's manifestation, and Martin Luther King. And I give thanks for it. Amen.